Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I have been waiting for a college player to make a specific announcement. A high schooler beat him to it. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday. Rising high school senior running back Jaden Blue, quote, "I'm sitting out my high school season to train for the next level." Rising high school senior running back Jaden Blue, "I'm sitting out my high school season to train for the next level." Jaden Blue is a four-star running back out of the state of Texas, and he's a good one. In fact, last year, while carrying the ball at Klein Kane High School, Blue ran for over 2,000 yards, averaged 9.5 yards a carry. He is a 10-9 track guy in the 100. He can catch the ball. He's got the kind of body that most coaches have looked at and said, yeah, he can put on another 15 pounds. He's 17 years old. So the four-star running back, again, 2,000-yard rusher, committed to Texas and Steve Sarkisian back in February. And he has decided 3 months later, not going to play this year. Now, I'm going to give Jaden Blue a little bit of credit here. Because when I read this, I thought that it was, now again, I'm just telling you the words I read and the impression that I have. When I saw just the headline, Texas high school running back will sit out senior year to train for college. When I saw the headline, I was like, oh my gosh, diva, look at me. I am the man. Like he wears the sunglasses inside. When I started reading what Jaden Blue put out, now, I would imagine that he had help crafting his statement. If I was 16 or 17 and I was going to make an announcement like this, then I would probably have some adults in the room help me. But it also sounded very genuine. Now, again, he was used like a plow horse previously, which is standard for a stud high school player. And part of what I... When you have a 2,000-yard rusher in college, that happens ever so often. And it's a guy who averages about 6.5, 7 yards a carry. You have a 2,000-yard rusher every now and again in the NFL. You don't have NFL running backs average 6.5, 7 yards a carry. Do you know what, like, Hall of Fame, like, not even Hall of Famers because nobody maintains it. Do you know if you have an NFL running back average over 5 yards a carry? Like, you stop and say, hey, everybody, let's watch this guy. He averaged over 5 yards a carry. So he did this in high school. He averaged 9.5 yards a carry. So that means it was basically a first down on average every time. So when I say plow horse and it's kind of standard, I don't want you to think this is like high school baseball because that's completely different. Dan, you can speak to this. When you get the rising senior pitcher who is already committed to LSU – and he's the number one pitcher in the state. I mean, what does the high school coach do with that kid? He tries to win a state title on that kid's shoulder.
Every single Friday night, that kid's on the mound.
Absolutely. And then the second guy, or maybe the swing guy, he'll pitch the Saturday game. And then Tuesday doesn't matter, so you just do whatever you do on Tuesday. Friday night's the game where all the scouts show up, and then the briefcases open and the guns come out. Every Friday night. If you remember the guy Scott Kazmir, the pitcher, left-handed pitcher, he's a kid from Texas. His senior year, go look up. He was like 14-0 with an ERA of 0.3.
I saw it because it was at my high school.
Hush!
So him, and keep in mind, too, Clint Everts was also another top prospect that was on his team, got drafted by the Washington Nationals. They played in our high school tournament, which it was the early February tournaments that you have before you get into district play and everything. Chuck, when I say that the stands behind home plate, that 90% of it was scouts,
briefcase,
guns
gun
out.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, if you ever seen like the guy at the Dodger Stadium with the Panama hat, except it's guys in a bunch of short sleeve dress shirts and, you know, briefcases. And so it happens, okay? It's high school, and you can put up numbers like that. So when I say he's used as a plow horse, it's different in baseball because, I mean, 100 pitches is 100 pitches. 2,000 yards as a high school running back isn't exactly the same as a college or pro because you're doing it on a whole lot less carries and there's only high school kids hitting you. But it's still 2,000 yards. So that's standard. I coached on teams where we did that because it's the biggest, strongest kid and that's how you win championships. And on Friday night, that's how you do it. Sometimes that's how you do it on Saturdays. It's almost never how you – there's like five or six guys when you get to the NFL that it still looks like high school or college. Like Julio Jones had some of those. Patrick Mahomes had – Adrian Peterson used to have those Sundays. But on Friday nights, Jaden Blue, 9.5 yards a carry. Already has a scholarship to Texas in hand. And he has announced, I'm sitting out to train for the next level. The important part is the follow-up, because when I was thinking diva, you know, all that goes along with it, full of himself, ego, etc., I didn't get that from when I actually read the follow-up, the explanation. Because the boiled-down version is, no, this is not because of a pandemic. This is not because of a family issue. This is not Hurricane Katrina, which there were a lot of kids that was like, my family, we're homeless. I ain't playing high school ball. He said, this is not anything I will lay on another entity, whether valid or not. I am choosing to not play so I can get ready to be a college running back. Credit to Jaden Blue for either being way more mature and comfortable in his 17-year-old skin than really any college player who's done the same thing. Because when the college players announce their opting out, what do they say? Hey, family concerns, pandemic, I'm worried. And for some, I said valid or not. So for some kids who did that in college last year, it was valid. For others, it was, yeah, I don't really want to play. I already know I'm going to be drafted. So instead of saying that, I'm going to say, you know, I got coronavirus concerns. Jaden Blue's like, no, this just because I want to rest my body and help get prepared to play in college. Now, if you're thinking, Chuck, it also could be he's too young to realize how honest he was. What do we always say about kids like 4-year-old, 5-year-old? Oh, kids are just so honest. I was dropping my niece off at school one morning. She was, I don't know, like 7 or 6. What's first grade? 7? So I was single at the time. She was trying to set me up with her teacher. So we pull up. And she says, there's Miss So-and-so. And I said, looked in the rearview mirror. I said, Uncle Chuck can get his own girlfriends. And without even looking up from her book, she said, not wearing those pants with those shoes, you can't. So, what do we love about kids? Oh, they're so honest. And then as you age, what happens? You go, hey, maybe I shouldn't be so honest. Jaden Blue, I really think it's the former. I think he was saying, no, I ain't hiding behind anything. I thought about this, and my reasons are XYZ. I'm choosing this. I thought about it. It ain't the pandemic. I'm not hiding behind. I'm not going to lay it on anything. Now, about the example he just set. Do you know why the teenage to 24 demographic is so coveted by advertisers? Because they are so impressionable, and the thought of brand for life. Now, brand loyalty is something that has changed wildly over the past, say, 10 years or so. But if you can, the idea is if you can hook a teenager, you may have a bank account holder for the next 60 years. You may have somebody who purchases Coke over Pepsi for the next 60 years. You may have somebody who says McDonald's, I love Hardee's for 60 years. And why do they so covet beyond just the longevity? It's because they're easier to penetrate than a 35-year-old who's had Hardee's enough to realize it ain't that good. So teenagers, really impressionable. And all, see, I'm the 53-year-old guy who's looking at Jaden Blue and going, what a special kid. You know what the 16-year-old running back in Wichita is thinking about Jaden Blue? That he's an example. Teenagers are so impressed. When I taught and coached, I realized within about 2 weeks, they see everything. They pick up on everything. They're like sponges. Really impressionable. And all over the country, there are other 17-year-olds seeing this story and thinking, huh, I want to be the best cornerback I can be when I get to Baylor. I want to be the best left tackle when I get to Arizona State. I want to be the best quarterback when I get to Wazoo. For Jaden Blue, it kind of passes the smell test. Good for Jaden Blue. Now, about that example.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. And our next guest, man, he certainly brings that to the masses. I want to welcome on now a good friend of mine who is the director of Larche Mobile. I want to welcome on again Marty O'Malley. I want to tell everybody I have been asked again for the third year to be part of the Larche Mobile event, the fundraiser event for the community in Mobile. And it will be on YouTube again this year. It won't be live, but hopefully that'll happen again next year. I want to welcome on Marty O'Malley now. Marty, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good, Chuck. I hope you're doing good. I appreciate you having me on and participating again.
Yeah, and the cool thing is when you asked me to be part of the program 2 years ago, obviously it was the 25th one, and it was a huge event, probably, I don't know, like 700, 800 people there, and everybody had a blast and a huge on-site auction. And then last year it had to go digital, had to go virtual. The advantage is 2 years ago you had to be in Mobile to be part of it. Last year and this year you don't. Tell everybody how they can be part of it next Thursday night.
Yeah, you know, Chuck, that's one of the positives that's come out of the pandemic is that you're right. Normally our in-house dinner is 700-800 people. Last year we had over 2,500 views of the program. So, and this year we decided to do the same just because of still uncertainties around where COVID is. So people can go to YouTube on Thursday, May 27th at 7 p.m. and there'll be the program will be launched then. And it's about an hour and 20 minutes. And you're one of our 9 guests this year that are sharing about college football, and we're really excited to have this opportunity for a wider audience than normal.
Yeah, and again, Marty O'Malley, director of L'Arche Mobile, L'ARCHE, L'Arche Mobile. And Marty, tell everybody specifically about the community in Mobile, and that also it's just one spoke off the hub. It's a much larger organization that all helps the same group of people.
That's right, Chuck. We're part of an international federation. There's 140 communities like ours in 35 countries. We've been in Mobile for 48 years. We're men and women with and without intellectual disabilities that share life together. And once, at least in Mobile, when we make a commitment with somebody, they can stay for life. So we have one man, Willie, who's been with us 48 years, another woman, Peggy, who's just turned 81, and she's into her 42nd year. So it's one big, not always happy, but we are one big family, and we're very excited about this week coming up for allowing other people to get a glimpse of who we are, and also to hear from a lot of experts in the college football world.
So, again, folks, it's going to be next Thursday night. Marty, again, tell everybody about the program, Philip River, some of the other folks that Brett Bielema, that folks are going to be able to tune in and see. Again, tell everybody about the program and how they can join it next Thursday.
Yeah, so we're very fortunate. We have 4 Division I coaches. As you met, Brett Bielema, who's with Illinois, just his first year. He attended a few years ago when he was with Arkansas. We have Brian Harsin, new Auburn coach, and he's very excited to be involved. We also have Lane Kiffin. Lane came when he was with Alabama, and so he is a returnee like yourself. And then we have Kane Womack, who's the new South Alabama coach, and it's exciting for us because we have a relationship with South Alabama where one of the people with disabilities has participated with their football program in the past. With you, we also have Reese Davis with ESPN, and then Ivan Mazel. Ivan is a long-term participant of our dinner, and he's from Mobile. And as you mentioned, it's first time we've ever had a potential future Hall of Fame NFL quarterback, and Philip Rivers, who is in his first year as a local high school coach.
Well, Marty, I'm going to go ahead and commit that if y'all will have me back next year, it'll be in person, and I can't wait to see all that stuff in that auction again down the Shiny Digs at the University of South Alabama. So I'm looking forward to that a year from now, but everybody, next Thursday night, everybody can tune in on YouTube. Marty, thank you for your time, brother.
Chuck, I appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you next year.
All right, Marty O'Malley, again, director of L'Arche Mobile, L'ARCHE. Again, it's in a community of adults with and without brain injuries and such. And so it's just a great organization down there. So that's Marty O'Malley, and that'll be next Thursday night. Like I said, it is a roster full of people that just unbelievable college football personalities. And then me. So that's what you're going to get. Dan Matthews, how are you?
Oh, bad news for JT Daniels. I think at least in one group of people's eyes that he is the product of perception and a bad reputation. Athlon Sports recently just put out their preseason All-SEC team. It's preseason team time. And, of course, when we get to media days, we'll have even more of it. But JT Daniels, if you just off the top of your head have to guess where JT Daniels falls in the preseason – on 4 preseason teams, where would you think JT Daniels fell?
First or maybe second if you really love some Matt Corral.
Woo, boy, you needed to take the over. He is third on this one. He is the third team quarterback on Athlon's preseason team. You've got
Bo
Bryce
Nix?
Young. No, you have got Bryce Young at number 2, Matt Corral at number 1.
Wow.
In the reputation part of it, it's truly just Chuck. I trust, even with Bill O'Brien there, I trust Alabama more than I trust the returning coordinator in Athens, because it's not the coordinator's fault. I just don't trust that the guy beside him is going to allow him to do it.
You would have been right if you would have put the never before been the starter to be all conference with Tua and Mac Jones, maybe 3 straight.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 51 sticks. Dealing it out since the beginning of the 14th season. I appreciate everybody putting that blessing in my life. Our next guest, he's got a lot on the resume, and my wife knows him as, oh, that's the guy in the boots. I'm like, honey, he got into Georgia Tech, all right? That's enough. He's got a pro football championship ring. He's on ESPN. He's got a lot more, but we live in a visual world. He's the guy in the boots. It is Tom Luganville. Tom, welcome back, brother.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. I guess you want to be known for something, so you're the guy in the boots.
Hey, I've been called worse.
I'm certain. Let's talk about – but you played quarterback, man. That's part and parcel. Let's talk about some of the QB situations, and I'm going to start in the SEC. Dan and I were talking before you came on about preseason. It's time when you put out your preseason all-conference teams, and – I know what Matt Corral is as a Saturday guy. I don't necessarily care about his pro projection. This is a college football show. Is he a first-team All-SEC guy? Is he a potential All-American, maybe just a chair in New York sort of guy?
Absolutely, he is. I think outside of, you know, what we know of Spencer Rattler, I think he's the best college quarterback coming back next year. I know there's Sam Howell. I know there's a lot of guys. The ACC's got 13 to 14 starters back at quarterback. I really believe Matt Corral is special. We've just seen the tip of the iceberg of what I think Lane Kiffin is capable of doing with him. Now, they're going to have to replace some weapons, obviously, mm-hmm. but there is no doubt, in my opinion, he will go from being, you know, somewhat talked about this spring and this summer. Then we'll get into the fall. I don't know if Ole Miss is going to be good enough on defense, but you're going to have to score some points to contend with him. I think the guy has a chance to be special. I really do.
Will the play calling in Athens allow JT Daniels to be all that JT Daniels can be?
Yeah, I don't concern myself with that. I think, listen, you know, the one thing that a lot of people have been clamoring for in Athens is, you know, why didn't Justin Fields work? Why aren't we more athletic? Why aren't we doing more with the quarterback's legs? Well, the comfort level has been a JT Daniels skill set in the mold of a Matt Barkley, in the mold of a Jake Fromm. So I think that you will get a very serviceable, competent passing game to offset the run game. And again, a year ago, for the first half of the season, you know, defenses are looking at Georgia and they're saying, well, listen, we load up the box. They're not good enough at quarterback to beat us through the air. Then all of a sudden the back half of the season happened. And in my opinion, I thought they were one of the top four best teams in college football. I thought they were a better football team down the stretch than Notre Dame was because they had competency at quarterback. So, I mean, are they going to be dynamic? No, I don't think that that's what JT Daniels is. But I think that he's smart. He's heady. Yeah, he's got arm talent. Is he going to wow you with his feet and legs? Probably not. The loss of George Pickens, I think, is fairly significant, but I also don't know if it's the end of the world. They've got other weapons there. I expect for Georgia to be really good. And, again, I keep using that phrase, competency. They were incompetent at quarterback a year ago, and it didn't matter how good they were around him. And, listen, if you have a quarterback, you got a chance, and I think they've got a chance.
What is the bluest sky for Emory Jones?
Dak Prescott, Nick Fitzgerald-esque
wow.
shift in style, because this is what you're going to see. You're going to see a lot more of what they did in Starkville because of the skill set of an Emory Jones than what they've done the last couple of years with Kyle Trask. I mean, you're talking about two completely different dynamics athletically. And to be honest with you, it probably, I don't want to say it's going to make Florida more dangerous, but it will give people more to have to defend. You are going to have to be prepared to have a package defensively for quarterback run, not just the quarterback taking off and making plays when things break down, but designed quarterback run where Dan Mullen is trying to get a plus number in the box against what you have on defense to defend the run by using the quarterback. That will be the biggest difference in their offense.
Let's bounce over to the Atlantic Coast Conference, and this is not supposed to be any sort of like limited compliment. I close my eyes and I think I see beginning week one, DJU is going to be the biggest stat stuffing quarterback. I think running, throwing, points, everything. He ain't as good as Trevor Lawrence. He's going to have better numbers running and throwing, I believe. That's just my impression I get. Walk me through that thought.
Well, you know, I would make similar assessments to what I just said about Emory Jones. You know, we know what an athlete Trevor Lawrence was. And we also saw them when they wanted to, like they did against Ohio State 2 years ago, use Trevor as a designated runner. See, I think this time around, though, with DJ, they have more of a Cam Newton style of athlete, which gives them quarterback power, quarterback counter. Of course, we all know the zone read part of it. And I would be willing to bet, until they find what they think is their answer for the loss of Travis Etienne, and to take some pressure off of an offensive line that I thought was very, very average a year ago, you're going to see more heavy quarterback run in this offense, and I think that's important. Because, again, it's one thing to always know where the quarterback is. It's one thing to know that the quarterback's not going to be a part of the run game, because then essentially you're playing 11 on 10. Well, when the quarterback comes into the equation in that regard, it can cause some real problems. And let's not forget, you had Ladson and Gata and Justin Ross, arguably the three best players outside of Amari Rodgers, were not a part of that football team last year. So the best weapons that they have will now all hopefully be back. So they'll have the components in the passing game. It's how will the run game change. And listen, I mean, if you're DJ, we've seen a slight sample. Obviously, he performed well. Now it's his show. Let's see if he can elevate the football team.
All right, folks, I want to tell everybody this is fourth wall stuff. I don't prep Tom. I just fire stuff at him, and I assume he knows. So have you had a chance to see Tyler Shuck? Because that is, to me, I saw the transfer, and I was like, why isn't everybody making a huge deal about this kid leaving? I think he's a fabulous quarterback, and he may have his own stat stuffing season that finally gets – like he may have his own you know, like Brock Purdy sort of like, sure. Who's that?
Well, you know what's interesting about him is not only have people not paid close attention as to how this happened, but nobody has made it sound like it's a detriment to Oregon.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you're sitting there looking at this, and I know they've got Anthony Brown, and I know Anthony Brown played a lot of football for Boston College. I also know that he was injured a lot, all right, wasn't overly consistent, played some in the latter part of the year for Oregon. But everybody's acting like it's not a big deal. And I think it is a bigger deal than it's being made out to be. So it's a great question whether there was something that wasn't right with Joe Moorhead, what they were trying to do offensively, some type of rift there. It was definitely a head-scratcher to me, too. I thought that was one that kind of came out of left field.
I think he's a tremendous quarterback, and he's the kind of kid people are going to go, oh, wait a minute, he just transferred there? Wrapping up with Tom Luganville, and I want to ask you about give me your thoughts about what's ahead in the transfer portal. Specifically, there's two ends of this, and it's around roster management. First of all, the NCAA, would you agree – they have to do something to address the 25 scholarship limit. Maybe you lose a kid to the portal, you get a bonus or something. These numbers, I mean, like literally, we're driving a car off a cliff at 2 miles an hour, I believe, with the portal.
Well, here's what people have got to understand is it's a mathematical equation that cannot be solved. Do you know, as of today, there were over 2,300 players in the transfer portal. Guess what, guys? There's no scholarships. All of these guys are jumping into the transfer portal because they're disgruntled and they're not playing and they, you know, think that they're being slighted. And they all jump in there thinking that their recruitment's going to start all over again. Let me fill you in on something. It's not. And that's the reality of the situation. Now, you mentioned roster management. Here's the issue, and I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here, but when you sign a player to any class, okay, he then is labeled as an initial counter, all right, towards your 85. Right now, as it stands with this transfer portal and the extra year of eligibility that everybody's getting, is if a player jumps in the transfer portal and leaves your program, you don't get that initial counter back.
Yep.
It goes with him. So now, instead of just being able to keep that initial counter and replace him, you're having to use your own initial counters for a guy that you're now having to make a choice on. Do we take the high school kid, or do we place the high school kid with another grad transfer or another transfer portal guy? Somebody's going to lose. And with the extra year of eligibility, yeah, you can be over 85 for 1 year, but how are we supposed to get back down to it? How are you supposed to recruit kids at the high school level? It's mind-boggling how much of a disaster I think this thing's going to turn into.
Yeah, and you hit on both of the ends of it there. And I'm waiting for – it's not an if, it's a when. I'm waiting for the announcement of the new number structure because, you know, people used to marvel. Well, wait a minute, 25 a year, that's 100. You can't have 100. And I'm like, you're going to have a lot of programs like Tennessee looking around. Like Tennessee's a team this year that can't even take advantage of having more than 85 because they had so many of their original players leave. And you can't bring transfers in to go over 85. So it's just been it's been a minefield to be sure. Tom, I appreciate your time as always, brother.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
All right, Tom Logan again from ESPN and sideline reporter, does recruiting as well. Just a lot of knowledge there for a guy who also expert on playing quarterback. So appreciate when he makes time for us. We will break. We're going to come back and wrap up Hour 1 next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I think I know him, but I hope I don't walk past him in the hall and not say hello. But that could happen. I mean, that's just the craziest ever been. But hopefully that stuff is over. And I'll see all those guys on Sunday night. I'll have a meeting, and the parents will be in there and welcome them. And I think after a couple of days, we'll get to know each other pretty good.
Y'all know who that was. Ed Orgeron, LSU head coach. And he is talking about getting to know the freshmen. They're moving into the dorms. Actually, I think maybe today and tomorrow it is, yeah. And so he's referring to getting to know the freshmen as they are arriving. And he's got other folks arriving on campus, and that's going to be in two weekends from now. And I had mentioned this, that LSU was actually one of the few teams that I had mentioned as far as the specifics of what they're doing that first weekend of June. I believe it's June 4th. And I had mentioned there were four linemen who were already scheduled to go to LSU. And I said there were 3 5-stars and a 4-star. And I'll give LSU fans credit. I actually heard from more than one, I'll say. It wasn't 150, but more than one LSU fan. No, There's only 2 5-star linemen committed. There's one four. I'm to attend to come to the meet to come to the event. There's 1 4-star, and I was like, you're right. It is. They're trying to schedule with the 3rd 5-star lineman. And this. And by the way, I don't follow recruiting until like December. And so the 3rd 5-star has signed on. He's committed to attend the event and be wooed. And so you can go if you're an LSU fan who already corrected me on that, you know who it is anyway, because you knew it was only 2 5-stars who were showing up. Well, it's now 3, and it's specifically linemen is who I'm talking about, as well as the 4-star linebacker from Florida. So it's going to be a party in Baton Rouge and a lot of other places beginning officially June 1. They can come back, but that next weekend is when things. Are really supposed to heat up. I have talked about the most likely positions that programs are going to mine in the transfer portal with their remaining 1 or 2 scholarships. We had Brian Matthews on from Rivals yesterday. He covers Auburn. And I said, so what are the numbers, you know, with Auburn? Because like everybody, Auburn wants to add an offensive tackle. Not a lot of places say offensive lineman. Auburn wants a tackle. Auburn would like a left tackle. Auburn would like a first-team all-conference left tackle. So if you're out there, but they want an offensive lineman to start with, and then they'll just kind of make the best of it and, you know, hope for more from there. Everybody wants an offensive lineman if you only have 1 scholarship. I said if you have 2 scholarships, you want an offensive lineman and a corner. Almost invariably, offensive lineman and a corner. There are programs who need somehow a transfer running back. And the only way that you really should be in need of a transfer running back is if you've had a couple of your own guys jump into the portal and go, yeah, I'm not getting any run here. And so over the last couple of classes, see, everybody always brings in multiple. Nobody ever. We're only bringing in 1 running back this year. Even before the portal, you'd bring in 2 running backs. In a very rare case where you had like 4 sophomores because of an injury, and then you redshirted, or a red shirt, and then an injury, which you're like, dadgummit, why'd we redshirt him? So there were some occasions where you go, hey, we're only taking 1. And we all know why. Eligibility, depth chart, what you project, but you could project at that point. There's no projecting anything now. And so there are programs that get thin at running back. Big reason you used to not be as likely to get thin at running back is because you would use 1 running back more often. Go look at the workload of a guy like George Rogers at South Carolina, 1980. Go look at Bo Jackson, actually. Well, no, his senior year was a 2-back. Bo was in a 3-back set his, I want to say, freshman and sophomore years. Can't remember about the 3rd year. But his senior year, when he won the Heisman, it was I formation. I remember, it was Eye of the Tiger. Was the marketing, which I was like, bravo, if you can just blatantly rip off a Rocky movie and sell some t-shirts. So that worked. But that was 35 years ago. Do you know what a running back coming out of high school wanted 35 years ago, or I don't know, 10 years ago? Do you know what a running back wanted to hear as recently as 2011? Am I going to get my touches? I want my touches. And it used to be carries, but then the NFL said, no, you have to catch the ball as well. Oh, Dak, okay, now I want my touches. I need 25 touches. Do you know what the selling point to a high school running back is now? And you won't have to do too much of the work. So the dynamic has totally changed. I could name you, I said 1980 South Carolina. I could name you a couple of other running backs. I think there was a guy, last name was Barry, I think. But it was George Rogers, and that's how they won their, whatever it was, 7 games, I think. Maybe, no, 8 games, and went to the Gator Bowl and got just smoked by Pitt. It was 35-7, maybe. They was like, all right, where's number 38? Okay, well, he's not going to beat us tonight. And so it was like a high school game where you have the stud running back. You're like, well, he ain't going to beat us. And so it was just a blowout. But that was still the game plan. Pitch right, pitch left, you know, George up the middle, over the river, through the woods. I mean, it was just George. That's not what you do anymore. if you are a program, you're a fan of a program looking for a running back, there is a chance that the latest running back into the portal may be the best running back in the portal. If you go back in time 2 years, there was a four-star running back out of Newton, Texas. Dan, where's Newton, Texas? Dan doesn't.
No clue. That is probably the first time I've ever even heard of that town.
Okay, well, it does look like it's a, is it a 2A school? Darwin Barlow was a four-star running back, 5'11", 195 pounds. He's now been in a college program at Texas Christian for 2 years. And he has played some. He is a redshirt, actually he's going to be a redshirt sophomore. No, actually he'll be a redshirt freshman again. Wow, how about that? In 2019, he played actually 13 games, 428 yards rushing, 6 yards carry. Last year, didn't play as much with the emergence, because he's a four-star kid, emergence of five-star running back Zach Evans. So Darwin Barlow looks around and says, I'm on my way out. I was, quote, only a four-star, and I've only played in 13 games over 2 years. And Zach Evans comes in, and so he's going to be the guy. So I'm going to hit the portal. And he waited. He's announced that he's again, a redshirt freshman. And he's big-time recruit out of the state of Texas who has already performed in a Power 5 conference. If you are in your first year of college football, and see, I don't even know his, because his he played four games in 2019, so he was a redshirt freshman in 2020. He played nine games last year. None of them counted. So somehow this kid is going to be a redshirt freshman with immediate eligibility in 2021. And Darwin Barlow has looked around and was like, by golly, things are looking up for me. I mean, think about the impossible chain that I just described Darwin Barlow with. He's proven. He's like, oh, yeah, and I did it in a Power 5 conference. So he's in the portal now. And he gave it an honest chance, and he competed, and he did everything else. And so if your team's looking for a running back or a quarterback or a center or a safety or a wide receiver, there are over 2,000 kids in the portal. Do you know the only way? See, a high school kid can't get into the portal. The only way you can get into the transfer portal is if you're already in an NCAA program, which means at the very least, you've enrolled and gone through spring practice. So at this point, every single transfer, a coach knows at least a teacup more. Some kids, like Darwin Barlow, hey, get the Baylor film where he ran for 117 yards on 24 carries. You know what that is? That's delivering the mail against a conference team in Power 5. I don't care. You'd have eight stars as a high school running back, and I don't have that kind of game film on you. You know what you have? Game film of you averaging 9.5 yards a carry.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.